definition is a very deep, fine feeling of the heart, of the mind, and of our way of doing things, our behavior, our standards. Keep them, fellows. We have them.
I'll tell you all about it.
The longer you live, and the more you think of your years of Swago, the more the word tradition of Swago is going to mean to you. And it's going to be something that you think about, something that's worthwhile, something that's fine, fine.
Like submarines, got periscopes, like Ollie does. The rope-a-dope, I think your bad breath lady needs a bottle of scope, yo. We got to kick it.
It's like Norman Mailer needs an envelope. Like your fat ass mama needs some cantaloupe. Like Walter White needs an isotope.
We need to kick it. Like the NSA, likes to interlope. Like Billy Crystal, like the guys on soap. Like the mayor of San Diego, who likes to grope, yo. We like to kick it.
Like Nancy Reagan, likes a horoscope. Like Galileo, likes a telescope. Like Mrs. Willenda, likes my thick, tight rope.
We like to kick it. Like your pregnant little sister who's got to elope. Like your boy Buster Keaton needs a skinoscope. Like Dr. Marcus Welby needs a stethoscope. We need to kick it.
It's like the Cardinals, like to meet the Pope. And like the Democrats, like to vote for hope. Like cancers rock the Torah trope.
We like to kick it on the ski slope.
What's up?
What's up, Alan?
Wow, another off-sider.
Oh, no, another one. This is the first one in like, 13, 14 months.
Yeah.
Well, the last one involved Mr. Popkin.
Yes.
And this one involves Steve
indeed
as well.
It does.
But he motivated us, thankfully. We were supposed to go last Monday with an episode. Snow took us out. We have a very special guest who we have to replan on. We don't want to kill any surprises here, so we won't tell you who it is.
Sure, we don't want to. It might motivate people.
Okay, yeah, why not?
I think we should. I think we should get people psyched for.
We'll tell you right after we come back from this commercial.
We're going to keep people.
Right.
It's
we're
like,
going to
like
you hanging.
News. We're going to tell you the exciting thing you're going to hear, but you're not going to hear it until the absolute end.
It's a Dave Blumstein hologram with audio.
Andrew K. Went is the guest that we will be having on the show.
Yes.
And I'm excited because that's connecting us as far back into the history of Swago.
I think he's as far as it goes. I think not only him, but his dad went to Swago, like in the 20s.
His dad went to Swago?
Yes.
How old a man is Andrew?
He's, mid-60s. Andrew, I hope.
That's awesome.
I hope I'm getting that right.
He's like, he's going to come out. He's like, I'm 52, you asshole.
Bastard. Don't you remember I was in camp when you were?
But it will be nice to get connected all the way back into Swago history.
And the thing I love about him he just showed up one day, like on the Swago page on Facebook, and posted photographs.
And he's
like,
really active.
Plenty of them. Yeah. And he is active. But when he first just, put those photos up, I'd never seen photos from like the 20s and the 30s. And my favorite, and I told him this, I said, is that one of the social hall where it's like guys from an F. Scott Fitzgerald book in basketball clothes in the social hall, like the piano's in the corner, like the whole social hall is still the social hall, but it's set in this sort of, it's like The Shining. Remember the end of The Shining where he sees himself in the movie? It's almost like that. And I love that photograph. It's my favorite.
Awesome. We'll have to post it up on the site.
Yeah, we will.
Cool. I'm excited for that. You know who else responded?
I know. I know.
So
was it a good thing you watched the movie in
Swago's, one of Swago's most successful entertainment industry.
He's got a Wikipedia entry, I think.
Russell Gewirtz, who wrote Inside Man, as well as a number of other movies, but Inside Man and another one with De Niro.
I think he's the only Swago I had to work with: Pacino, De Niro, and Spike Lee.
Pacino, De Niro, Spike Lee, Jodie Foster, Denzel Washington,
like all in one movie too.
Clive Owen, all in one movie.
That's crazy.
Biggest opening weekend for all those people.
I know. Yeah. And I'd love to hear a story because, apparently, like, nobody's ever just come out of the box like that, written a movie, and had to have it be like the greatest.
I think he told me in that he, this is like a story he had in his head for a long time, and then he put it down.
Right.
So it's interesting. I'm excited for he'll be a calling guest.
Yeah, listen, he was like one of our great buddies too.
Yeah, Russell. Day, so. Yeah, is Russell Dial? It's
more exciting to see Russ and then get into the famous Russ.
Wasn't it interesting to see David Allen and Chris Schachter going to see some like techno British band at Terminal 5 together?
Did I didn't
you see
this.
Them post
no.
that?
No, I
David
this.
Allen posts like, I don't know the name of the band. I'll find it, but I went to listen to it and it's just like a it's not Flock of Seagulls.
And there's a picture of him and Schachter at the show?
It's a check-in. Okay. He's like checking in to see so-and-so at Terminal 5 with Chris Schachter.
Oh,
and I guess
great.
Chris Schachter's not on Facebook.
Right, no.
So,
and refuses to be
photographed. So I'm like, what could these two have been going to see?
Right.
And I go listen to it.
Of course.
And I have it. I'll play it in a second if we care.
Right. But, maybe when we make Instead of the Bugle, we'll use that.
You know what's cool? So
what
like,
is the name of the band?
It's not Flight Facilities, but it's something like that.
Okay.
I'll find it while we're talking.
But, okay.
It's cool, like this whole like. So there's a whole other thing that goes on. For a while, there was the Swago basketball team,
right?
And that like kind of brought a group together. But I have to say,
at first it was the website that
I
put together.
But now I have to give Mr. Popkin quite a bit of credit. He's got this momentum around these jams.
Yeah, no, the jams are great.
And you know what? It's attracting a broad. Today we're going to get a chance to talk with Mike Moss and Slam schools,
right?
And there's a lot of applicants, and he's heard from a bunch so far. He's gotten in everywhere. Well, he hasn't gotten rejected anywhere. He's either in or deferred, and he's sweating it out. So
I just realized the technical issue that I guess I'll fix next time.
What, that we're not live?
And I noticed on the last podcast, too, there were a couple of times where, like, for a second or two, it would black out. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, right. Just did it again here, and I guess what happens is my system is on, like, I don't know, 30-minute automatic sort of go-to-sleep mode. So if it does that, then there's a pause. But if I just... I'll just keep moving the keyboard.
So you think we're going to have gaps in our words?
No, just that one right now that I see. So I think we'll be okay.
All right, we don't have to redo it. Right. So Steve, what's up with you? Come on over
and talk to us
for a minute. We're at the Maker. What's the name of the studio?
Just give him some props.
It's called the Studio at Music Makers.
Yeah, and this is where generally this all goes down?
This is where we have most of our sessions, except for when we have bigger sessions, where we usually try to get a place that has a big stage.
Oh, this isn't where?
Like a club.
Oh, that was on the one of
Montana
Studios.
Also, we were at SIR. Yeah. The last couple of Christmas jams, which is a really great studio, which is fantastic. But this place is very accommodating, and as you can see, there's a lot of equipment, and all you have to do is roll in with your guitars and your musicians.
It's the greatest bargain in the world. It's like, what is it, $20 an hour for the room, something like that?
It's more like, yeah, it's around $25, $26
an hour. So, you know, you have
and
to,
this is like the best room in the house.
Right,
so
if four guys, it's like, you know, $7 for an hour of jamming.
How if you want a smaller room, it is even cheaper.
Was Moss into music back in our day?
He was. He was a drummer.
Was he like someone you looked like? You were always into music.
Yes.
Howie Popkin, did you
look to
him? He told
me about many bands.
He did.
Never heard of, like, Jaco Pastorius, Weather Report, UK, Bill Bruford.
He was a basketball guy to me.
Even then, he was
a little
into
more jazz,
all that like progressive jazz stuff, Pat Metheny type stuff. And he also, I do remember, he had records in his bunk. So you must have had a turntable or stereo.
Awesome.
He really wasn't that inspirational to me, you know, not on a music level, though.
Right.
No,
really,
but he taught you how to play guitar, though.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I was playing guitar like a year before I came to Swago.
But who taught you how to play These Boots Are Made for Walking?
Oh, that was Dave Jacobs. That was our intergroup song.
Inter-year Dave Jacobs.
Yeah.
I confused that, but Mike was sitting there at the time.
Right.
We were all sitting around. And that was Eddie's.
And that was sitting
around and sitting there, too, so therefore I taught Howie how to play.
No, it wasn't Mike. You know, Mike and Jacobs were like one bunk apart or whatever as counselors at the time.
Yeah, they were.
Well, you guys were in... We were in L4. I was
L4. You must have been L2, maybe?
Yeah, we were two. We were the first one.
Okay.
I was with Eddie, Wolgamuth.
L1,
that's right. Where I was.
Okay.
Right, Dave Jacobs?
I think you were
that's L2. Inter-year.
Maybe you were L1.
L2 would have meant you were on the far side, right?
Right,
I felt like I was
side,
on the road side.
To the tennis court.
No, I felt like I was always on the... Okay. On the you know, the walkway.
So was
my bunk L3 that was with Scott Schneider and Henry Zucker, or was it L4? I can't remember.
Who's L3 then?
I guess it was
next to us. I think in my bunk, I think it was Keith and Scott Schneider.
Right.
And next to me, I'm trying to remember.
I think that's the following. I think L3 was like Eric and David Becker and those guys.
My counselor was Jay Katz, like a 1 year.
Yeah,
that guy was amazing.
He was the imitation Moose.
He was, right? It was like if Moose was like kicked off for like a TV series, like for like bad behavior.
Right,
and they had to replace some, all right, we need to replace the Moose character. Who do we bring in? Like Jay Katz was the perfect like Moose replacement, like a little
but
more violent.
He seemed a little more stiff though.
He was
weird,
big,
right?
He like, you know, I wanted to play basketball, but
he
was he
had
like
bad knees,
short
though.
And big. But he was
tortured
friends with that guy, Les.
Les Miller brought him.
Les Miller.
It was through some Brooklyn connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was connected to Les from the Brooklyn
crew. Was a one-year counselor, but he was a fun guy, but he was crazy, though. You know?
When you think
was,
of pony sneakers,
it was violent.
Do you think of that Ranger year or so? And
yeah, it was 1 year where ponies came on to Nike and Adidas.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Les Miller reminded me of that. I don't know why.
I had the Puma Clydes, man.
I always had Clydes, too.
Color fastness wasn't so good, and your socks would turn like the color of the sneaker. It was a good way of identifying them.
But it was that suede that
it was that blue suede that I guess they didn't, you know, put any sort of protectant on, like the, so it wouldn't croc. But.
If you really put like an old school pair of sneakers on now, the lack of support is just amazing.
It's bad, right?
Like a Chuck Taylor's.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you might as well just walk on a.
I have a pair of Chucks, and you're right. It's incredibly
uncomfortable. They're very style. They look cool as shit.
They look cool, but your feet hurt after a while.
Totally.
All right, so we watch yourself on the Chucks, people.
Well, one thing about Swago I just wanted to remember and reminisce about as far as music goes and the tie-in to Swago is that we had a...
We've talked about that before out here.
Yeah, there was a counselor, Keith McCoy, and he somehow, like, siphoned out a bunch of stuff from Brooklyn College, if I remember the story.
What do you mean by stuff, like records and stuff?
No, the actual transmitter or something.
Equipment.
A whole setup, but the transmitter itself is the one thing you couldn't get. Everything else you could like buy at Radio Shack. But the transmitter that really broadcasts strictly onto our account.
right.
Only
no problem.
Onto Swago for like about 1,000
feet.
We've
talked, it didn't really get even across
the
LA.
It was enough, though, to feel like you were doing a Radio Shack.
It was enough where if someone was sitting on the lake in a boat right near where
you could hear it in the senior bunks with static, but I think in the you could hear it in the HQ.
It didn't matter. Yeah, it didn't matter.
The junior bunks had good reception.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff, you know? Exactly. It made it to 400 feet to their boat.
Right. It was like 1,000.
But it's cool. You go around before your show, like telling people, "Hey, I'm listening to my show." You try to build an audience. You know,
it wasn't like it was on 24/7.
No,
and we had no supervision. There was you just opened the key. You got the key. No one watched
you. Just did what you wanted to do.
Played whatever you wanted.
Could you curse? I don't remember call any sort of like profanity.
No, it was the 7 second delay.
Keith McCoy's just sitting there at the button.
Yeah, Keith McCoy. You know, has supplied it with records and turntables, and then other people had records. I know had a big selection, and Moss and other people.
Jake reminded me, like, there was Jake a whole, like, hello, this is Moi. Like, remember, we had totally forgotten that was, like, my sort of on-air persona.
We all had radio shows.
It was a Paco kind of dude.
Keith McCoy could have just been the one black counselor and sort of tried to fall back into the woodwork. But no, this man made things happen. Everyone knew Keith McCoy.
He must have knew someone to get into Swago, but I don't know what it is.
Well, Keith had the greatest laugh. Do you remember what it was like? It was that sort of like, it sounded like a train whistling. It was like, it was like a shisha.
The other thing that he could do that was a little revolting, but interesting was...
Was rebound and sweat on you.
Well, on top of that,
yeah.
Remember when he would like make his chest muscles bounce?
Yeah, he would do the chest thing. I do that.
I do that too for
my kids
girlfriend.
Love that. Look at you,
Burke, but
you stylish motherfucker.
I'm all like walking around camp, just popping the breast.
No,
back
I don't
up
do that.
Like Keith McCoy.
But my kids were always fascinated.
Everybody liked Keith McCoy.
No, he was a great guy. Why not like him? Why not like him?
No,
he treated well.
No reason not to. Just was saying, he's one of the liked.
All right, so you know what? Let's take a
quick
pause. Quick little pause.
We'll be back.
All right, peace.
Warming up?
All right, we're back on the ski slope, yeah.
Oh, nice.
We have a special guest, Christina, what's your last name?
Aragone.
Aragone?
Oh, is that right? Did I get it right? Yes. Aragone?
Nice, no, it's nice.
I met Christina for the first time when we were here with Willie Nile.
Right.
And I have to say, since that time, I have followed you on Facebook and followed your pictures. You are an amazing photographer.
Fantastic.
Like your style is really, I think, beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you only focus on musicians?
No. I actually take photos also of children.
Okay.
I did a couple of weddings, but they were really strange weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Like
really?
One was a musician wedding. So
okay.
Was
all right.
Well,
and another one was a couple of hippie guys in an island in front of Seattle.
Okay.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You seem to like black and white, though, right? It seems like that's your...
Yeah, not only. I mean, yeah, my passion, because I studied a lot the photographers, the beginning of century, like Cartier-Bresson, Boisnot, Brassai, Dorothea Lange, all these people. And so I have this in my mind. But I love black and white, of course. But I also like to play with colors.
Okay.
But it's not always possible, you know, especially with live shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just have a horrible
red
light,
right.
and what can I do? Black and white.
Right. Black and white.
Oh, is that what it is? It's like wearing black clothes for me to feel slim and look good. It covers everything.
Sometimes it just saves my ass, you know.
I
can't.
I always find like I feel much better about, you know, when I'm in a black and white photo than when I'm in a color photo.
Yeah, well, it's true. It does. It makes it less. Weirder, it's not as multidimensional. It's sort
I think
of
it's
like
not as real. It's something more arty about it, you know, because that's not how I perceive reality. But
I have to say my colors are never real colors.
So, oh, you always
so even when you put color in,
yeah,
it's not real.
But they're not using
that's
the Instagram
I've noticed
filter,
that.
Right? You're doing it on your
own. No,
okay.
I use three different photo programs, editing programs.
They're just more sophisticated versions, though, of Instagram
right.
stuff.
Same thing, I know.
You know, like
they're a little bit better.
I don't have an iPhone, I have to say.
Okay.
I'm not an iPhone.
You're an Android person?
I use a Nokia.
No.
Just because. Just because it has a better camera.
Okay. But, okay, and that's a Windows phone.
It's good enough reason, though, for someone who likes to take pictures, photographer. Well, you just did a shoot with Slam Allen?
Yeah,
is that where
it was
you're coming
amazing.
From?
He's a super nice guy.
Cool.
It comes across, like even on stage. I've seen two of his shows at BB King.
For me, you know, blues is really... I make my living mostly with rock. York musician, but blues is my true passion.
Nice.
So.
Well, you guys are brave because you did this outside, and today I think it's 5 degrees out or whatever
it's 14.
It is.
14.
It's been negative
14.
With the wind chill.
Yeah, it was
on
difficult,
roofs.
But we made it. We are still alive.
Awesome.
We still have fingers working.
Well, that's always good, especially if you're a photographer.
Yeah, that would be a killer for the trade.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take another little break now, and then because I want to set up a little bit for myself guitar-wise, and we'll pick it up in a bit.
It's Christina Aragone.
Excellent.
Thank
Check
you.
Her out on Facebook. Great
Bye.
Photographer.
Yeah,
Thank
we'll
you.
Post a link.
All right. Thank you.
Sam, how do you feel about Purple Rain?
Is raining Purple Rain now?
I mean, we can wait till later, but
no, whenever you want, baby.
If you want to kick it, I say kick it.
You say it, I'll play it.
All right,
get the
Purple Rain.
I need the sheet stuff now. Right.
Purple rain, purple rain.
We're back. I hope the music came out okay. People talking now. Alan has left the facility. He had other things to do. No worries, though. I've had a great jam. I've had my man Slam Alan. What's up, man?
What's up, man?
All right. We're fresh off just jamming together. And I got to say, like, honest, I just said it before, but I'm going to say it again. That was the most fun I've ever had making music in my life. So.
Thank you very kindly, man. It's great to be here hanging out with the fellas, you know, doing what I do.
Yeah, it's fun playing with you, man. And it's even more fun when you figure out it's E flat instead of B flat.
Yeah, that's all right, man.
All right. Now, on the first song, too, it took me about 30 seconds, but everything else has been good since then. So what's up, man? How'd you meet Mike?
When we talk about Mike, we're talking about Mike Moss. Everyone knows him out there in Ski Slope Land. So how'd you guys meet?
Well, I met Mike probably about 20, 25 years ago. You know, I was out and about at this jam session at this place called the Downtown Tavern.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I cut my teeth at. And I used to go out there and, you know, watch the fellas and play myself. Later on, I hosted a jam session there. But anyhow, he saw me playing on stage, man. He ran up, he said, man.
literally ran up the stage
and said, we're going to start a band. Sure enough, a few days later, we started the first band. It was, you know, the first Slam Allen band. Uh-huh. And he was my first drummer.
Yeah, and he's good, man. Yeah. He's good. You know, my connection to him, I don't know if you know, is like he was my my camp counselor.
So I've heard.
For 3 years, he was like my big brother for 3 or 4 years, you know. So, you know, nothing but love for him. And he's, you know, he's an amazing guy. He's a great guy to have in that role, too, because he's, you know, pure heart, good man.
True indeed.
All that good stuff. Yeah, so where was this place located that Mike ran up to you and said, oh, we got to start a band together?
In Middletown, New York.
All right, that's in the neighborhood, right?
That's not too far away. It's about 30 miles from my home.
Okay.
In Monticello.
All right, so you grew up in Monticello?
I was born and raised in Monticello, went to high school there.
Oh, that's cool, because that was always like on our way to camp, like that was like a landmark. You'd get off the exit, it was the raceway exit too, you know?
Exactly.
It was like, get off there, it's like, all right, we're close. You know, you go down that one road. It's, you know, starts off a little with pavement. It was where Johnny's Topless used to be. Remember Johnny's Topless?
Yes, it's
since closed down. But you know, when you're a 12-year-old kid, like on a bus going to camp, and you see Johnny's Topless on the left with that sort of silhouette of the naked woman.
Yeah, there you go.
It was always fun. Yeah. So are you playing anywhere in the city lately? Because I've seen you a couple of times at BB King's, and you know, fantastic shows both times. And the thing that really stands out is, I think, like your rapport with the audience is amazing. You know, it's genuine, it's sincere, you're fun, and the music's great. So it's all around a good thing. I was like, if it was the 1970s, you'd be great, like, to have like the Slam Allen show, like a variety show. You know, have a couple guests on.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to bring that back now, man.
Yeah.
2015.
Yeah, I know. They don't do that anymore, though, right? They don't have the variety shows.
You know? Not too much of it's happening. You know, they used to have. Like traveling road shows,
yeah,
where they have a bunch of artists just go to different places and just tear it up.
All right, well, that's,
you know,
yeah, that works.
Yeah, man, I would love to do that, man. Get a few, you know, up and coming and a few seasoned artists and stuff, and just make people happy.
Well, you got us, man. Anytime you want, just give us a call. We'll pack the van. We're off.
There you go.
All right, look who's here.
Yep, Mighty
Hello,
Mike Moss,
aka Moss. What's up, man?
Howie Bender. A long time friend.
An honor, privilege.
Absolutely.
My brother, I was describing our how we know each other. And I guess you already knew, but I figured, you know, better safe than sorry.
Some Swago people are listening to this?
You know, not right now, they're not.
I mean,
other than the people in the room, but yeah, they will eventually, yeah.
Can I just make one Swago
Yeah,
comment?
Absolutely.
All right, first of all.
It's Moss, people.
Swago people, I love you all, but I got to make a comment. Gary Gropper should have been a color war leader over Robert Krause.
A lot of controversy here.
Yeah, bringing it back up.
Somebody tell Krause not to listen.
I'm just saying.
All right. All right. Point made. Slam, what do you think about that? It should have been Krause or Gropper.
You know, listen.
You're right. They're both good guys, right?
No stopping won't be nothing. That's my motto.
Hey, Mike, why don't you tell us about how you started working with Slam and how you met Slam and, you know,
I remember he used to be his
Steve Poppin people.
Sure.
And now you're his manager and his drummer too.
Well, the long story was I met Slam through his uncles. It was Buddy Cecil and his dad Harrison.
And I heard you ran up on stage and said, "Yo, man, we got to start a band."
Totally true. But even before that, I met Slam's uncle, whose name is Cecil, and we had a band together. And
okay. I found out about this today.
That's really?
Yeah. Yes. And you know, the it's Allens are a big family, and we used to play rock and roll together. And then one day, I heard about this jam session where Cecil and his brothers were going to be there, and I didn't know Slam at the time, but he was behind the drums, just kicking it. You know?
Yeah.
I still wasn't introduced to Slam. I went back again, and I saw Slam. He was wearing these like monocle kind of glasses, and we said hi.
Is it a monocle, like just one?
One of these? No, two.
Yeah, that's two monocles.
Right. I guess it was a duocle.
Okay. Yeah, it was a duocle.
That's it, man. So, it's like on the chain. There's no frame holding it.
Exactly. And they didn't pop off either when he met me, which I was surprised. But anyway, so we were just made friends, and I still didn't really know who Slam was. And about a year later or so, Alan, my son, was like three, and I wanted to just get back out into playing because I was staying home with my son. And there was a jam session, and I know this is kind of going over it, but from my point of view, I just went out to play some drums, and there I saw Slam at the stage playing Let the Good Times Roll. I'm in the back of this club. There must have been 70 to 100 people there. And long story short, I thought everybody in the room had the same idea I had. So as soon as he stopped playing, I basically pushed everybody out of the way, which I shouldn't have done because nobody was running up to the stage. It was all in my mind.
Never know, though. Why take chances?
You never know. And I went right up to Slam. I said, "Hey, Slam, remember me?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Are you in a band?" He goes, "Not yet." And I said, "Well, would you like to be in a blues band?" He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, we're starting one tomorrow. Is that cool?" He goes, "Yeah." And that's.
Can I ask you the same question? Would you give me the same response? You want to start a blues band? We come to the city every Saturday or Sunday,
and just to make a long story short, we've been together through thick and thin, and now things are really starting to break well for Slam. He spent many years with James Cotton. He's been on the Norwegian Cruise Line, and he's got this new record coming out, Feel These Blues, and it's just his time right now. And I just want to see him happy and successful, and
at least happy
and successful. And that's pretty much how I feel about it. I love drumming for him. I've learned so much from him, and it's just the second part of my life that I never expected to have.
That's great. Really. So when does the album come out?
Yeah, the album's coming out in March, middle of March, on the American Showplace Music label. So right. Slam is actually signed on a label as well.
Excellent.
And like I said, the name of the record is Feel These Blues, and it's 11 original songs, and we're just going to take it to the people. That's the goal.
All right. Well, we'll hype it up too. We'll put some links up, and we'll get some stuff going. But in any event, listen, I want to get back to playing because it's too much of a luxury for Slam to be here and me not playing music with him. So thanks for coming on, Mike.
Absolutely.
Slam.
Pleasure, man.
My pleasure.
But, you know, listen, we're shaking hands, but we got to get back and playing guitar. So
I'm sorry about that, Krause, but I just got to tell you.
Oh, more controversy. All right, we'll be right back. Thank y'all. Alan.
Mr. Bender, are we live?
We're live. Well, you know, we're recording what we're saying right now. I still have this weird effect on my voice that is throwing me off, but...
I hear a little, I don't know, a little microphone-ness to your voice, but other than that...
The microphone
side,
fiend.
That sounds okay. Yeah, you know, a little tinny.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to hear it on the playback. Yeah, you were asking me about the rest of the jam. It was great.
Yeah.
It was, I said at the time, it was the most fun I've ever had playing music. But the truth is, probably when I played live with Little Jimmy Sparks, that was more fun because you're in front of a crowd and stuff. But just as far as jamming with people, that was the best.
That guy can really play lead guitar, man.
Oh, my God. You know?
That guy's really good, and I saw you really enjoying yourself being you were playing rhythm guitar, and you were having a good time, and it was cool.
You know, the kind of music I listen to the most over the last 5 years is soul music. So that stuff. Hello.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like I get a chance to play that all that often. And this guy's right up that alley. So to be able to play rhythm guitar and just do some backup stuff, that was fantastic.
Beautiful. Well, I guess I'll find out when I listen like every other listener. You spoke with Slam and Moss for a little while?
Yeah, just for a bit. Just got some, maybe 10 minutes of conversation. And, because the truth is, I
I wanted to play music. I'm like, all right, I'll do the ski slope. I love that. But, you know, if I have a chance to play with this great guitarist and make great music, I'd rather do that.
Depending on when we actually put this conversation into the podcast in terms of order, this may or may not make sense to people. But the band is called Future Islands.
Oh, I went home and then looked for David's status, liked it, and commented that I hadn't seen it until now. And then I listened to the song.
Yeah.
I guess they have one big... And I do this thing where if I like a song, I'll put it on that month's playlist. So I have like December 2014, January 2015.
Right.
And this guy was on my December 2014 playlist. I actually like that song.
Yeah, I like that song too. I knew that song. But I can't imagine the other 10 songs they played at the concert are that good.
Right. And then
Could be wrong.
I saw a clip of the guy on Letterman. Well, not the guy, but the band, I guess.
Right.
But the guy that fronts them,
yeah,
he looks like some guy doing karaoke in Ohio. You know? It's just...
All right.
Guy with a t-shirt and like slacks. It's like, what are you doing?
Well,
man?
We'll have to get David Allen back on the show to tell us how he really enjoyed it.
You can bring Chris Schachter.
Maybe even Chris Schachter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a good day yesterday. This is going to end up being a short episode, but a short, tight, sweet one. Got a lot in it. Got a lot of talented people in it.
Yeah, we got
Moss,
two guests.
A little cameo from Moss.
Right.
Nice stuff.
Real quick Moss cameo. And the music didn't record that well, at least on the Audacity, which we use for our podcast. The levels were too high, so there's a lot of feedback. But Popkin said he videoed it, so I'm going to try to get the audio from him and include some of that in this.
That would be fantastic, because I think, yeah, people would like to hear that. I really enjoyed it. I just couldn't stay all day. How late did you guys go?
Until about 4 o'clock.
Okay, yeah.
So it wasn't so
nice.
Long. It was great. But it's funny that you were going to mention that thing about how the ski slope and Popkin's jams, it's becoming this entertainment conglomerate.
Yeah. We've got, you know, the funny thing is like, you know, there's the association with, like, he's brought some good, really talented artists into the mix there.
I know.
And you're not quite sure like what it's all about, like, other than just having a good time, but he really produces a very good show.
That's the thing.
He's all over it, man.
It's like the jams used to be, you'd show up in his basement and maybe he played an instrument, maybe it didn't really matter. He picked whatever was up and just, you know, did what everyone else was doing or tried to. And it's totally morphed into the opposite of that. It's now like very constructed and directed by Steve for the most part.
Produced and directed by Stephen X. Popkin.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen X. Dream.
Which is great. Because I think so I said yesterday.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I said yesterday. We might have missed it. You know, that first conversation we had, I think we missed a lot of the subject matter. I think it did. My computer was going to sleep, so we made.
Oh, we did? That was, yeah, that's too bad. That was a solid conversation.
I know. I don't really remember what we spoke about, but I know it was good.
We spoke about what you first brought up, that Popkin bringing in this whole element has been cool. We talked to Christina Aragone, the photographer.
Oh, we got all of her. It's just that first talk that we had.
Well, whatever. People
we'll
will get the splices they get. They'll get what they get.
They'll take it, man, and they'll be grateful for it.
So we might as well, given that it is Super Bowl Sunday,
throw a Super Bowl
prediction on the table. So I see, I don't know. I'd like to say I think Seattle's going to win because I'd like them to, but I don't think they're going to. I think it's going to be New England winning by like 10 or 11 points.
That's how I see it. And it's funny because I'm rooting for New England. It's the first time in my life I've ever rooted for the Patriots. And I just have a feeling Seattle's going to win in a sort of last-minute way.
That would be cool.
Break the Patriots' hearts. Yeah, but I feel like the Patriots deserve another Super Bowl to sort of cement their history.
I'm not a Patriot hater. I will tell you that I unfollowed the first person I've ever unfollowed on Facebook.
It wasn't Keith LePack?
Because I think he unfollowed me, by the way. Is he still a friend of yours on there?
He is. Although I haven't really seen that much from him lately, so maybe.
No, check. Yeah, right. I think he unfollowed. Either we disappeared, he unfollowed, or he unfriended me. Not
well, I think
unfollowed.
You were using profanity against one of his other friends, right? Called him an idiot or something.
Yeah, I guess I offended him. But I did unfollow someone because they just wouldn't stop about Patriot. They just wouldn't stop doing Deflategate things. And I'm like, I don't care.
In a good way or a bad
much.
Way? Like they were anti-Patriot?
Like, You know, he was pure pro patriot, okay. But he just kept on going and going. And I'm like, you're like every 20 minutes, you're throwing up the next article you see and commenting. And
it's very important he get the other side of that story out.
The last 2 weeks, so I stopped following. So I stopped. Right. I will refollow him when it's back.
It takes a lot for me to follow somebody, but it's happened. It's happened.
It does. Well, cool. So I guess we're just gonna. Who knows what this episode's going to end up being, but it's going to be good, like all of them. That's what I think.
It'll be interesting because it's not linear. Like, I don't know what will come first and second, and you know what the intermissions will be.
You know, it's an interesting concept for that. Actually, I was thinking about that before when I'm like, are we doing the beginning, the end, the middle? What is this?
I had the same question. Like, I don't know if this is epilogue or prologue.
Well, that's when I was thinking the Future Islands comment, and I'm like, it would actually be kind of cool to do sort of like a Jeopardy-like version of a podcast where you sort of give the answers first and then you go back and explain what it was that you were talking about.
I like
cool.
That. All right, we'll work on that. All right, and then we're going to go back to a traditional podcast real soon, as soon as we can reschedule. This week is bad for me because Susan's gone, so I'm on domestic chore duty all week.
Right.
But after that, the week after this, we should get it going.
Folks, we hope you enjoyed our half hour, whatever this turns into, podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A little taste of Ski Slope. We'll be back in about a week and a half with some great guests.
Until then, we bid you farewell and a hearty Moonlight.
Moonlight.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.